we serve a God that is great and greatly to be praised. I'm going to say a prayer to welcome the Holy Spirit in here to do a shift, or if anybody needs anything in life tonight, whether it's a healing or an increase, whether it's a blessing, whatever you need. If you came in here expecting tonight, I just believe that God is going to make a move tonight. I studied on this word, and I've been praying for the last 4 hours, and God has told me that there's going to be something good happen to somebody in this service. They're going to feel the Spirit of God move. If you came in believing tonight, then you're going to receive for whatever it is. Search your heart and pray with me. Pray silently to yourself and tell God to open your heart and let you receive this message, and that you believe whatever you came in here asking for, that you receive it. And I declare that you will have it in the name of Jesus. Father God, I just give this service to you. Father God, I just welcome the Holy Spirit in here tonight, and I welcome Jesus and you in this house, Father. And I just ask you to speak through me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let me deliver this message accurately with peace and strength. Do not let anything disturb this word. I'm anointed and appointed, and I'm called by you with boldness, Father God. I thank you for allowing me to be an example of a son of God and how we should walk in strength and boldness, Father God. And I just welcome the Holy Spirit once again in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading out of Job tonight, Job chapter 1. If you turn with me, please. Thank you, Kelly. I'm going to mainly be in the first chapter of Job. The book of Job, you know, I find it very interesting. It doesn't have an author. It doesn't name one. I guess it's got one, but it doesn't name one. And I thought that was pretty interesting, you know. It kind of just puts the spotlight on God, Job, and the devil here in the first chapter. You know, so there's a few interesting things that I found about Job. You know, it's one of the most poetic books in the Bible. And so it's kind of challenging when you start studying it, especially in the part where you got the three friends and they're arguing back and forth. I mean, it's when I get in there and start studying, I like to find a point or a subject to just kind of grab a hold of it and run with that. But this book is kind of difficult to do. But you know, and there's a few interesting things about Job that I thought you guys might like. There's a lot of our modern statements that we use today that are used in Job. Like, "My Redeemer Lives," that song, "My Redeemer Lives," is found in Job. That's where that song comes from. I thought that was really cool. And there's just a lot of cool stuff. But anyway, we'll get into it here. There was a man in the country of Uz named Job. He was a man of perfect integrity who feared God and turned away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. His estate was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke oxen, 500 female donkeys. Now, when they state, like, he's got 7 daughters and 3 sons, that's an expression that they used back then to say he was extremely blessed. Like, back then, one son, You were blessed by God. 2 sons, you were favored. To have 7 sons and 3 daughters, you were like really, really blessed. And then to have all the cattle and all that too, I mean, you were blessed, to say the least. And then it goes on to saying that, you know, he was the greatest man among the East. You know, so being the greatest man among the East, that means Job was a very important person. And if you think about it, you think about today, he'd have probably been like a governor or something, you know. With all that cattle, it says that he has slaves but servants and them daughters and, you know, all the cattle hands. So you got to think he had a lot going on, right? So a man like that had to be popular in his country. And so he had a lot of influence. There were people watching him. There was people all coming and going, business transactions. I mean, he influenced a lot of people. He was the greatest man in the East. You can't be the greatest man in America and not have some influence. People are looking at you and they're wondering what you're doing and what's happening in your life. And when something does happen, they're wanting to know what's coming next. They're watching you very closely. Y'all know, like I do, any kind of drama or any kind of conflict, people are right on it. You know, they want to see what's the next move. What's he going to do? So we'll keep reading here. His sons used to take turns having banquets at their homes. They would send invitations to their three sisters. They would eat and drink. Whenever a round of banqueting was over, Job would send for his children and purify them. Rising up early in the morning, he'd offer burnt offerings for all of them. For Job thought, perhaps my children have sinned, having cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. So, you know, that just even confirms that they were having banquets, so they had a lot of people there, as we said before. But his regular practice was to ask for forgiveness for stuff he didn't even do. You know, he was blameless. You know, so he made sure that they were taken care of. And I thought it was funny because Kelly was talking about this morning how we get around our families and, you know, we'll be doing, like, we may act some way over here in town or when we're at this person's house, but when we get around our families, we kind of let our hair down and stuff, you know what I mean? We say stuff and do things that we wouldn't do around other people, you know, and I believe that Job understood that, that he knew that when his daughters and sons got together, they probably were doing things, whether it was gossiping or whatever it was, but he was going to make sure they were taken care of, and so he offered sacrifices. Benio, we'll go on here. One day the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. See, now we're getting into it. It takes a shift. One day the sons of God came to the Lord and Satan also come with them. So when you first read that, you're like, what? Satan is talking to God? Like, what's going on here? You know, a lot of people don't even understand that Satan has that communication line and that Satan talks to God. They think, well, Satan, when they think about Satan, they think he's in hell or something. You know, but that ain't the case, you know. The Lord asked him, he says, where do you come from? He said, from roaming through the earth. Satan answered him, and walking around on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? No one else on earth is like him, a man of perfect integrity who fears God and turns away from evil. So even God, you know, this is coming out of God's mouth. This is coming out of our Lord's mouth. The guy's blameless, you know. He's blameless, and he's showing him off in front of Satan. He's saying, he's blameless. What do you think about him? Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you placed a hedge around his household and everything he owns? Have you not blessed the work of his hands and all the possessions have increased his land? But stretch out your hand and strike everything he owns down, and surely he'll curse you to your face. You know, Satan knows what perks us. He knows what our perks are. And he's telling God, he's saying, man, the only reason that guy's serving you is because everything in life is going right. He says, something goes wrong in that guy's life. He said, he's done with you, dude. He's like, come on. He said, strike something down. Let me at him. You know what I mean? Let me in his life for a little bit and watch how he turns on you. So the Lord, very well, the Lord, Satan says, everything he owns is in your power. However, you must not lay a hand on himself, on Job. So Satan left the Lord's presence. And the story goes on. It says, you know, Job's life fell apart. You know, he took everything. Everything Job had was, you know, destroyed by Satan. You know, Satan, they call him the accuser. And a lot of us don't know. I mean, I know when you're a new believer, you probably don't know these things that, you know, they come into the church and we get people that come in from time to time and they're here for 2 or 3 months and you can see them growing a little bit. And we think, cool, man, wonder what's going to happen with this guy, you know? And we're watching them, and then they just disappear. It ain't that they went to another church. They stopped reading their Bible, praying and everything. They just threw in the towel, gave up on, you know, they hit a little bump in the road. Or maybe a lot of times it ain't even their bump. It's maybe the people they're hanging out with, You know, they don't know that you've got to get all the way out of that lifestyle. When you're with God, you are with him, and you're going to prove it to him because it's just the way it is. There's no excuse. It's just the way that it is, and we've got to accept that, and this is a good book to reflect on when you're going through anything because this is the way that it is. But you'll see they'll just disappear, and you'll never hear nothing about them. But that's what it is. You know, they hit a little bump in the road, and they just threw in the towel. You know, and they're done. They're done with the Lord. And they thought, man, I thought this guy Jesus was supposed to have my back. You know, I'm done with this. And or, like I said, one of their family members, their girlfriend, or one of their friends have a family member die, and they're going over here hanging out with these non-believers, and they're going, you know, talking about God in a bad way, and it's rubbing off on them. And they're hearing this negative stuff. Why would God allow something like this to happen? What do you mean he's a good God and this and that? Man, my son just died. He was, you know, he's never done nothing wrong. You hear too much of that stuff as a young person, a young believer, you're done. You know what I mean? You're going over to your friends' houses and you're hearing this stuff and you're the only one trying to serve God. So, you know, yeah. And I've got a few verses here. There's several verses that, you know, you can refer to that's what it is, you know, to let the new believer know that this is just what it is. Like Luke 22:31, Jesus warned Simon Peter, look, Peter, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat. You know, he's asking God. He said, let me at him. He said, man, let me at him. I'm telling you. And he did. Peter did turn on him. And 1 Peter 5:8, be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling like a lion, roaring, seeking to who he may devour. So resist him and be firm in the faith. Know that the same suffering is being experienced everywhere for believers. So we're all experiencing it, but a lot of us don't know why we're experiencing it. And so, especially when you're a new believer, you just throw in a towel. I'm done. You know, you could have hung on just a little bit longer. You know, if you knew that was what was going on, that the devil was on your heels, man, because you were doing what you were supposed to be doing. But I believe Job knew what time it was, you know, because he was, we'll go on here. So one day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking, when they lost, drinking wine, their oldest brothers, at their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and reported, while the oxen were plowing and the donkeys grazing nearby, the Sabaeans swooped down and took them away. They struck down, I'm just going to skip a lot of this, guys. His whole farm and everything, his daughter, everybody died in his family. He was the only one. I think we all are familiar with it, but a lot of, like, his whole life got ruined, you know, and that's what the next several verses talk about. But after all his children were killed, his cattle, his house, everything, his wife was gone, when the four witnesses come and told him, the first thing Job done, man, he hit his knees and began to worship God. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. To have a mindset like that, you got to know something. You know, you got to know there's something going on. And he was blameless. He never blamed, throughout all this, Job didn't sin or blame God for anything. You know, I believe Job knew what time it was. He knew what was going on. He had been close to God. He had studied the Word. He knew what he was supposed to do in those times. But new believers don't know that. And a lot of times, our lives are illustrations. They look at us, and they're seeing what we're doing in our conflict, in our drama. When it's going on, they're watching us. And they're so if you're not holding on to God and saying, man, I know everything's going to work out. My God is a redeemer. My God saves us. My God, he's going to make something good happen out of this. And then, you know, so then they kind of veer away from it if they don't see something good. But now if you're cocky with it and you're confident, you're telling them that, and they see you shining, whether it's 2 months or 3 months down the road, and they see you shining, they're going, man, I remember that guy was so confident telling me that. I can remember when I was going through my struggle with my wife. You know, she had really put a knife in my back, man, and I'd lost my house. I had my land and house paid off. I had 3 vehicles paid off. I had $13,000 in the bank. And life wasn't perfect, but it was good, man. I was okay. I owned some stuff. I was comfortable. And me and my wife had a falling out. And went one day from having all that to the next day, my freedom was gone. I was on foot, you know. everything have changed in my life. And I could remember walking back and forth to church. You know, my sister told me, she said, get on Facebook and defend yourself. Do you know what they're talking about? Do you know what they're saying? And I was broken. I had just lost everything. I was not trying to defend myself to some people I didn't care about. I was trying to get my stuff together, my life together, and God was the only one that could defend me. So I went to the defender with all my problems, and I relate to Job on this. This is why I'm teaching it, because I can relate to him to a point. I hit my knees and I told God, I said, man, I know you've got me. I got enough teachings to know that you're the only one that can defend me in this. And I stayed away from everybody. And I just, me and God, just, I mean, just on my knees, praying. And I knew it was going to take some time because I was in the spot. But I walked back and forth to church and I was humiliated, you know, to be on foot. I would walk back and forth and I'd see people watching me, and I know people was talking about me on Facebook, and you know, they just, a lot of conflict and a lot of drama. And I wasn't talking to them, but I know that they were watching me. And when I'd walk back and forth to church and I'd have my kids with me, I had a fire in my stomach. I felt this fire that God was telling me everything was going to be all right. You know, he was telling me, he said, Dwayne, he said, you keep walking. He said, I promise you, son. He said, you let, and he had got me so motivated. Told me, he's like, there's people watching you right now. He said, your life is an illustration. He said, man, you done got the hard part over with. You're out of jail. You know what I mean? You've done got over the wife. You know, you ain't getting the money. The hard part's over. Now all you got to do is live out that message. He said, live out the message. The longer you can suffer, the better it's going to be for me. He said, the more people are going to be watching. He said, man, there's going to be more people watching tomorrow. The next day they're going to be watching. They're going to be seeing what you're doing, what you're talking about. They want to know what's happening with you. They said, so if you keep doing what you're doing, everything's going to work out for you. So I continued to walk back and forth to church, you know, and it just kept getting better slowly and surely, just kept getting better. And they're still watching today, you know, so that's good. So everybody that was watching me in that suffering, when, because I was struggling. I don't know if some of you guys were here. And I'm mainly stuck right there with my family. Right there, I knew the ones that had my back, because it was a treacherous time in my life. You know, people were out to really get me. And I stuck really close to family and God. And he really pulled me out of it. And they're watching today, you know. And so God's still saving them. It was like me and Tommy was at the fair the other night, and a guy named Chris come up that I hadn't seen in years, and he was, as soon as he seen Tommy, he says, man, what did they do to you? They fired you or this thing? He wanted to know what was going on with Tommy and his job situation. He wanted to know what the deal was. And me and Tommy was ministering to each other at the fair, and it was just a perfect illustration of how somebody will just wants to know what's happening with the conflict, with the drama. And I got the chance to minister to Chris and Tommy. And I said, see, this is why it's so important right here. I said, we're living out the message right now, Tommy. I said, this is where it's at. I said, Chris, he just started going to church last week too. So it's perfect timing. You know, him and his wife had just got back into church. We invited him here. So God was in there with us. You know, I said, Tommy, I said, this is when you tell him, man, God's got bigger plans for me. This is where you tell him what your goals and what your dreams are. This is what you tell him what your God is going to do for you. So live out that message, man. Live out, you know, suffer, but live it out. Let him know what God's going to do for you. Be confident and bold. You know, and then I've got some verses here. It's like, what do you do when something like this happens, you know? What do you do when you're tested? What do you do when the devil, that's who it is, the devil's coming, and whether he asks for permission or not, you know, he's coming for you in the day of testing, and God prepares us all through the Word to prepare for the day of evil. And even Jesus was tested. In Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 1, the devil tested Jesus. So if he's testing Jesus, he's testing you, he's testing me, you can be a Christian, you're gonna face them tests. But that's what we come here for, is to strengthen each other and, you know, to motivate each other to be ready for the day of testing, because it's coming. But some of us will know that it's a test, and some of us won't. Some of us will shine, some of us won't. Some of us will be rewarded, and some of us won't know what's going on. You know, and Jesus explains it to us in the parable of the sower. I guess we can turn there. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 through 21. He's explaining about the Christians that come in, or the people that come in the church, and they don't know this. And my goal tonight is to just equip you with what to tell them, because we all face that question when you'll be ministering to a believer and they'll go, I've been hit with it several times and been put on the spot. Why would I come to church, man? Can your God do for me? All this bad stuff happening. He couldn't protect me from COVID. He couldn't protect my dad from COVID. He couldn't protect my grandma from cancer. What's he going to do for me? What's he doing for you, man? You know? And you let him know, dude, it ain't what he can do for you. It's what's going to happen to you if you don't do what you're supposed to do. But Jesus is explaining this to him. He says, this is just the way it is. You then listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path, and the one sown on rocky ground. This is one who hears the word and immediately receives it. So he knows it's good. He immediately receives it, and he's even joy. He's excited about it. You know, yet he has no root in himself, but is shortly lived. When pressure and prosecution come because of the word. I like that. It says the word, you know, so that means the word is designed like that. You know, if you're not rooted, you're going to weed yourself out. You got to be in there. You know, you got to be with him completely 100% with God. He immediately stumbles. You know, so he's already telling us that we're going to see stuff like this. You know, but if we can minister to them and let them know, hey, it's not like Jesus or God is supposed to do something for you. You've got a job to do. You know, this is the way that it's designed to be. You know, kind of have something for them when they put us on the spot like that. But Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that by testing you may discern what God's will is. You know, in Ephesians 6:11-17, so put on the full armor of God. And I know years ago I didn't know this was so important, but now I put the full armor of God on every minute. I can call on Leia right now, she can put the full armor of God on. Right now, put the full armor of God on. We'll say it together. Say it. Father in heaven, I put the full armor of God on. I put the helmet of salvation on. Speak up. I put the chest plate of righteousness on. I put the belt of truth on. I shod my feet with the preparation of peace. I pick up my shield of faith. I fasten my sword on my hip. I sharpen the one behind my lips. With the word of God. And nothing can come against me. Because I'm a child of God. You know, this stuff is real, guys, and it's in our life. So put the full armor of God on. So I want to read you guys this, I wrote something that what I think a Christian is. If you guys, to me, a Christian means you are called. You are not just anybody. You're a child of God, set apart. Men and women of God are warriors. When our feet hit the floor, we salute the Lord. We sleep ready. That way we ain't never got to get ready. We don't tuck our tail when trials and tribulations arise. We stand out in the crowd and shine. What breaks others down builds us up. We turn problems into opportunities. There's no dream too big. There's no goals too wide. We understand that in order to win, that we got to fail. So we do it gracefully. We are not at the mercy of anybody's words or opinion. We got the advantage on the whole world. The righteous are bold as a lion. We, the children of God, believe in the correct doctrine. We are meek, yes, but meekness is not weakness. Jesus is the gold standard of Christianity. Jesus was bold. If you claim to be a child of God, you have to be bold, like a lion. It demands boldness to be a child of God. It demands boldness to walk by faith and not by sight. To go where you've never walked before demands boldness to reach what you've never reached before. It demands boldness to break chains. It demands boldness to fight when you're tired. You know, we know that our adversary, the devil, is seeking someone to devour. And he's banking that we'll forget who we are. So I encourage you, when the testing of your hearts and minds is underway, don't just fight. Fight to win. Be an example to everyone watching. Give them something to shout for, you know. And I'm just going to freestyle. I'm just going to minister, you know, because that's all I've got. So God has been good to me, you know. The Lord is good. And I believe that if, you know, we just come to him in prayer and everything that we do, you know, when we're stressed out over a situation not working out or we're in fear or whatever the case may be, I just believe that we need to get more in the Spirit, more with the Lord. Father God, just move through me right now. You said you'd be with me. The Holy Spirit would be with me. So move. Let's see a work, Father God. I just pray that the Holy Spirit will take over and give me a message for somebody. And I'm going to ask if anybody wants prayer or something, if they need a blessing or they need to be healed or they need anything. If anything's on anybody's heart tonight to just, they need prayer, come up here and we'll do a prayer. You know, I just feel on my heart to call for prayer. So if anybody wants prayer, feel free to come up here. Jesus, I just love you, and I thank you for just taking over the service, whether it's breaking chains or whether it's healing people, Father God. I thank you for loving us and just being here with us tonight and just working through me, working through the men and women that are confident in you, Father God, and whatever they're believing for and needing in their heart, I ask that you just give it to them, Father, the ones that are confident enough to come up here. The ones that are confident enough to come up here and they believe that God is here with us tonight and they believe that God is still a healing God. They, whether it's financial issues or whether it's a healing, a health, whether it's a relationship problem, you know, we all need something from God. Father God, for everything that you're doing in my life.
I got a friend that's, I know 30 years I've been working for, and the doctors took a mass out of her brain, a tumor, and said she has stage 4.